Greetings, everyone. Welcome to a special Sabbath study. And we're going to cover some things concerning the Passover, the timing of the day, the Hebrew words, and how that reflects on when the Passover should be observed, when the lamb should be killed. What are these definitions according to the Hebrew? Now let's understand something very important. Satan the devil does everything that he can to move people away from the truth of the Passover. And he's been very successful. Because what the Christians have in the worldly Christianity is a complete fabrication of their own ideas based on their own traditions so that they can keep it whenever they want to, but that's not what Jesus said. Now, the truth is, we must be scripturalists. That means that we must understand the scriptures. And we take all authority from the scriptures. And that becomes first and foremost. Now, just like we have to set aside all the teachings of the Christian world that we see today, we must also set aside all the traditions of the Jews. Now, the Jews have their own traditions. You need this book, Judaism, Revelation of Moses, or a Religion of Men. Now, let's ask a question. Did the Jews, let's rephrase that, did the Levites and those who are descendants of the Aaronic priesthood within the Jewish community preserve the Old Testament and preserve the calendar? Yes, they did. But what was something that happened that Jesus warned us about? So before we get into our discussion concerning the timing of the Passover, and especially the two words, Bein Harbaim and Ba'erev, what we're going to do is realize that the Jews did not have it right. Now, during Jesus' day, most of the Jews at that time did have it correct concerning the Passover. But the Pharisees and those who followed them did not have it correct. And they kept the 15th Passover. And they have done everything they can to justify their version and interpretation of the scriptures. Now, there are Jewish scholars and translators who understand and know the truth, and they are scripturalists. And those are the ones we are to follow. Now, I'm going to do a lot of reading from this version of the first five books of Moses, the Shocking Bible, by Everett Fox. Now, Everett Fox is the leading scripturalist scholar in the world. So when we set aside the traditions, we are not setting aside the scriptures. And if you don't have the book by Everett Fox, The Shocking Bible, The Law of Moses, the first five books, I recommend you get it. And he did something very, very clever. He kept the scriptural translation pure. And he was in 100% fidelity and agreement with the Word of God with his English translation. And we have verified this through Michael Heiss, who was the one who was our Hebrew consultant for doing the Old Testament. But what he did, what Everett Fox did, was he put tradition in the commentary and left the scriptures pure. He was not a Pharisee, and of course the Pharisees today are the ones who follow Judaism. Now let's look at some scriptures that Jesus said concerning the Jews' practice of traditions. Mark the 7th chapter. Now this is important because we will see we are told to do according as they say, which means from scriptures, but we are not to do according to their works. Now here in Mark the 7th chapter, the Pharisees and Jews got all upset because Jesus' disciples were eating with unwashed, that is, dirty or defiled hands, because the Jews did not eat unless they washed their hands and unless they washed the tables and cups and pots and brazen vessels and all of this sort of thing. They did not eat. So they were complaining to Jesus about his disciples. And they asked the question, verse 5, Mark 7 and verse 5, "For this reason the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, saying, why don't your disciples walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" Now let's see what happens when you follow tradition. Doesn't matter if it's Jewish tradition, so-called Christian tradition, be it Protestant, be it Catholic, be it Orthodox, be it whatever tradition that any man devises, because really when you understand it, when you have a tradition that changes the Word of God, and the Word of God, the law of God is perfect, is it not? What men are doing when they change that and have their traditions, they're saying, God, you're not perfect, but we are. God, now we're going to tell you what to do. Now, God, we're going to interpret the scriptures the way that pleases us. So let's see what Jesus said concerning traditions, and we will look at a couple of other scriptures as well. Verse 6, "And he," Jesus, "answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites?" Hypocrites. Now that's not a very friendly word, huh? "As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Doctrine is teaching. The commandments of men are the traditions of the Jews. Verse 8, "For leaving the commandment of God," and that's precisely what they have done, "you hold fast the tradition of men, such as the washing of cups and pots, and you practice many other things." Then he said to them, "Full well do you reject the commandment of God so that you may observe your own tradition." Now, whatever it may be, that's why you need this book, Judaism, Revelation of Moses, or A Religion of Men. You will be astonished that you can hardly trust anything that the Jews write, even in their own encyclopedias. That's why it's such a wonderful and great thing to find Everett Fox, a man who would stand for the truth and translate the truth. All right? Now, let's come over here. Let's come over here to Luke 11. Let's see where Jesus went to eat with one of the Pharisees. And then we will see what happened when he was there eating with them. And this is very revealing because we need to understand it. Because you see, brethren, there are times that you cannot trust scholars at all because they are dedicated to their own minds, their own universities, their own understanding, rather than truth. Now, that happens all the time. Notice what Jesus said here. Okay? Let's pick it up in verse 37. "Now, while he was speaking, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down. But the Pharisee, seeing this, wondered why he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees, cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greediness and wickedness. Fools, did not he who made the outside also make the inside? You got to be changed within. That's the whole purpose of true Christianity. That's called conversion." So Jesus continued saying, "Rather, give alms from the things that are within, and behold, all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you pay tithes and mint and rue and every herb, but you pass over the judgment and the love of God. You want a loveless religion? Choose Judaism. It is obligatory for you to do these things and not to set aside the lesser things. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the chief seats in the synagogues and the salutations in the marketplaces. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as unseen tombs, and men who walk over them do not know them." And one of the doctors of the law answered and said to him, "Teacher, by saying these things, you are also insulting us, the scholars of the law." That's what we're dealing with the Passover. That's what we're dealing with the works of Judaism. Notice Jesus answered. He said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I really didn't mean to hurt your tender little feelings." No, he didn't. He said, "Woe to you also, doctors of the law, for you weigh men down with burdens heavy to bear, but you yourselves will not touch the burden with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. Therefore, you are bearing witness and consenting to the works of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Because of this, the wisdom of God is also said, 'I will send prophets and apostles to them, and some of them they shall kill, and others they shall drive out.'" Now, for what reason? Now, did the scribes and Pharisees and doctors of the law have it right when they rejected Jesus Christ and crucified him? Did they have it right when they insisted on having the Passover on the 15th day of the month rather than the 14th day of the month? And that's why you need the book, The Christian Passover. Now, I know some of you have it, and I know some of you haven't read it. I know others who read it every year. But this is the major work concerning the Passover. And it's in its third edition. And no one has been able to point out anything that is historically incorrect, scholastically incorrect, or scripturally incorrect as written in this book. So if you haven't read it, and there, you know, today everyone is interested. Emails, that's fine. Twitters, that's okay. Facebook, that's okay. But you would be amazed how many people do not read and do not know how to write. And they sit and make all kinds of judgments in ignorance because they haven't taken the time. And it takes time. Believe me, this book took years and years and years and years of study, of proving, of comparing with the truth. And so there's one man who sent a paper in, we'll get to that in just a little bit, who says that I was not honest with the scriptures, that I was not honest in research. And he makes the pretense that he read the book. But I can tell he only opened to certain pages and challenge certain things based upon Jewish tradition. Now, there's another paper you need to have, paper by Kuhn and Graeby. Now, that's almost 40 years old, and that's when, in the Church of God that I belonged to at that time, Robert Kuhn and the scholar Lester Graeby decided to attack and dismiss from the Church of God the 14th Passover by claiming that the Passover is on the 15th and the Jews had it right. But what did Jesus say to the doctors of the law? I just read it to you. Now notice why all of this came upon them. Did the Jews lose their country? Yes. Did they lose their temple? Yes. Were they scattered into the world as God pronounced judgment upon them? Yes. And what was it for? It was for their sins and their rejection of Jesus Christ. Now, at the end, God will also deal with them again. But Jesus told them, here's the reason why all of this has come upon them, all right? Verse 50, so that the blood of all the prophets poured out from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation and on until the return of Christ. From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacharias, who perished between the altar and the house of God. How's that for love and kindness, huh? Yes, I tell you that it will be required of this generation. Woe to you doctors of the law, for you have taken away the key of knowledge, and you yourselves do not enter, and you prevent those who were entering. And as he was saying these things to them, the scribes and Pharisees began vehemently to press him and provoke him to speak about many things, while they kept a close watch on him, seeking to catch something out of his mouth so that they might accuse him. How's that for an honest search of Scripture? You think about it. Now let's come to Matthew 23. Let's see what else Jesus said, and people turn and twist this around because they want to bring in Judaism. They want to bring in sacred names. They want to have a different calendar other than the one that God has given with a calculated Hebrew calendar. And they cite a lot of Jewish sources. Well, here's what needs to be done. All right, Matthew 23 and verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and said to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees have sat down on Moses' seat as judges. Now, they were not priests. Sitting in the seat of Moses means making judgments according to the law of God. So they sat down there. Now, notice what Jesus told them to do. And here you need to understand the distinct difference between a judgment based upon Scripture, which they were to do, and the traditions of men, which they were not to do. So Jesus said, verse 3, therefore, every judgment that they tell you to observe, observe and do, but do not according to their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and hard to bear, and lay these on the shoulders of men, but they will not move them with one of their own fingers. They do all their works to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and so forth. You read all the rest of Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Now then, don't you think that we're to learn something on that? Don't you think that when we study and come to the Word of God, that we need to be led by the Spirit of Truth? Will the Spirit of Truth lead us if we reject truth and reject Scripture and do not take the time to really study things out, to know them, to really understand, do you think that God is going to reveal truth to people who reject truth? Think on that. All you need to do is look at Judaism, Catholicism, Protestantism, Eastern Orthodox. That'll help answer the question there. To do as they said would mean as they read it from the law of Moses, not according to their traditions. All right, now let's come to Romans, the third chapter. Let's look at another one that is quoted quite often concerning the Jews and so forth, and that we ought to follow the Jews. No. Give you one good example here. I defy you to find in the Bible any command to use sacred names in the New Testament. In two places, Paul uses the Aramaic word Abba in addition to Father. Christ came to reveal the Father, and that is his holy and sacred name to us. And himself, Jesus the Christ. And God had the New Testament preserved in Greek, not in Hebrew, because the Jews would have destroyed it. Now you need to understand that. We're talking about serious things. Don't you think that exiling the Jews for 2,000 years because of rejecting Jesus Christ is a pretty serious matter of business? Yes, indeed. Now, for us to go to the scholars who are scriptural, and we can prove it, that's fine, because God is the one who preserved his word. To go to their interpretations and to their traditions with the Jews, or the Catholics, or the Orthodox, or the Protestant, all are devices and traditions of men. Now notice what Paul wrote here in Romans, the third chapter, and this becomes very important. What then is the advantage of the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Primarily that in that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. Not the Jews from the tribe of Judah, but the Levitical priesthood and the Levites within the Jewish community. So, what are the oracles of God? The oracles of God are not the traditions of men. The oracles of God means, it comes from the word logos, which means the spoken words of God. Now, where do we have that recorded? The Old Testament, correct? How about in the New Testament? Do we have the words of Jesus Christ, who was the Lord God of the Old Testament before he was born of the Virgin Mary? Yes, indeed. Do we not have the writings of the apostles, inspired of God, chosen of God? And do you think that they would write anything contradictory to the word of God? No, indeed. Let's read on here in Romans 3. For what if some did not believe, and didn't that happen? The scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they didn't believe. They rejected and crucified Jesus. Shall their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? God is faithful. Look at what happened when Balaam wanted to curse. He couldn't do it. Now here was a man dedicated to evil, being paid to curse. But God's will was carried out in blessing. So question, when it comes to preserving his word, does God have the power to make even someone who is dedicated against his word to do what is right? Yes. Well, how about when you have converted men like Moses? Huh? All the prophets. What do you think that Jeremiah did when God said right? What do you think that Isaiah did when God said right? What do you think that Ezekiel did when the word of the Lord came to him and said, write, or any of the so-called minor prophets? Did they write their own opinions? Did they give their own speculations? Or did they write the oracles or sayings of God? Yes. Now, what have the Jews done with it? Don't they have the truth? Just like a lot of people, they have a Bible in their homes, but what do they do with it? Huh? All right. So to answer the question, does their unfaithfulness nullify the faithfulness of God? Verse 4, may it never be. Rather, let God be true, but every man a liar, exactly as it is written, that you, God, might be justified in your words, and you might overcome when you are being judged by men. Now, that's a very interesting saying, isn't it? Do all human beings have a judgment concerning God? Yes, they do. Most of them are wrong. But God is justified because he is true. Now, what did James say to those who were judging the law? And is that not what men do when they have a tradition that they follow, which is contrary to the word of God? Yes, indeed. You ask anyone who's Sunday keeping, oh, well, we don't keep the old law. Oh, really? It's only eternal. It's so good, it's only perfect. So how's your society been since you've gotten rid of the law of God? Huh? All right, let's see here. James, the fourth chapter. All right. Let's pick it up here in verse 10. James 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Brethren, do not talk against one another. The one who talks against a brother and judges his brother is speaking against the law. You're doing something that is unlawful, and when you're doing that, you are speaking against the law. Now, what happens when you speak against the law? Think about this in relationship to what the Protestants have said, that the law has been done away, abolished. Think about this in relationship to what the Jews say concerning the timing of the day, contrary to the revealed will in the Bible. Think about it. All right. He is speaking against the law and is judging the law. And isn't that what men do? Yes. Oh, well, we don't keep that old Sabbath. We keep Sunday, the day the Lord has made. Well, God made every day. But he only designated the seventh day of the week as Sabbath. Did he not? Yes, indeed. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law. Think of it. Anyone who judges the law and rejects it and is not, and brings in his or her own tradition, is that not judging the law? Now notice, but if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law. Rather, you are a judge, and you're setting yourself in God's place. But there is only one lawgiver who has the power to save and to destroy. Who are you that you presume to judge another or judge the law of God? Now, Paul talks about those who handled the word of God deceitfully. Now, we're going to talk about some things here in a little bit. We're going to narrow it down to one key chapter in the book of Exodus. Now, this is a paper edited by John D. Keyser. Now, I don't know who wrote it, but it looks like the work of someone else that he edited it. And it is Bain Ha'arbaim, Between the Two Evenings. Just what does this really mean? All right. Now, he castigates me for being against Kuhn and Grabe and the paper that they wrote some 40 years ago. Now, if you want that, we'll send it to you. because that was the first assault against the 14th Passover. And after that, they began to call it the Lord's Supper, and more apostasy, then it became communion. Think about that. Does not a little leaven leaven the whole lump? And isn't that how Satan does? Doesn't Satan come along and challenge the truth of God, like he said to Eve? Oh, is it really true that God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? Well, she had to answer. Couldn't resist. Okay? Now, in this paper he says, after slamming and blasting Kuhn and Grabe, when you read the paper you'll understand why they had to be blasted. Referring to their so-called scholarly methods, and they were really rotten. And accusing them of such arrogance and impious handling of the word of truth. He goes on to claim that he will prove from Scripture that the statements of Kuhn and Grabe defending the traditional Jewish explanation and that of most scholars are utterly false, and in the book, The Christian Passover, if you would be kind enough to read it, you will see that that is true. Of course, just because he boasts that he will do so, virtually shouts with uppercase letters, this does not prove that he will succeed in his attempt. It is only a claim. So therefore, he never read the book. Therefore, he never, never looked into the Shocking Bible by Everett Fox, the leading expert in Hebrew today. All right, let's go on. Therefore, according to him, let's see, claims Coulter, the Hebrew terms generally translated evening or even ba'erev means sunset. Therefore, according to him, all the common Bible translations are in error. Not all. All the common ones are. Why? Because they follow the traditions of men. Now, let's understand something. I want you to think about this for a minute. Do you know what an infinitive verb is? It is this. I will use one to demonstrate very clearly the point. To be. Now, in a concordance, such as you would have with Strong's Concordance, it only lists the primary word. It does not give any derivation of the word, which gives us defined, precise meaning. To be. He is. Now, wait a minute. To be. He is. Is a separate word. They are. They were. They shall be. All of those are various derivations of the infinitive to be. Now, it is true in the Strong's Concordance, you cannot find the term Bein Ha'ar Ba'im. Why? Because they list everything under Erev, not Ba'erev. There's a difference. Erev is the generic evening. Ba-erev, ba being the definite article, erev, is different than just erev. He didn't even know this. So let me read on what he says here. He does not bother to prove that ba-erev should be translated sunset. Yes, I do. I spent a great deal of time on it in the book, and we're going to prove it right out of the Shocking Bible. Guess who translates Ba'erev as sunset? Everett Fox. Guess who translates morning as dawn or daybreak? Everett Fox, throughout all the first five books of the Bible. The leading scripturalist translator in the world for Hebrew. All right? I did prove it. He simply asserts it is so, saying dogmatically without providing evidence. A key that he did not ever read the book. This is proved by its usage in Scripture, and I will show it and prove it today. This statement is pure hyperbole and pure poppycock. No proof. He did not show one place where I was wrong according to the Scripture. He quoted some Jewish encyclopedias written by the Pharisaical rabbis, which will not agree with the Scriptures, because just as Jesus said, full well you set aside the commandment of God that you can keep your own tradition. Now listen, brethren, we need to understand, we are living in a world where Satan is ruling, and he wants to destroy all knowledge of the truth. All knowledge of the 14th Passover that should be kept in the way that we keep it, at the time that we keep it, in the manner that we keep it. That way he can move you away from the covenant of eternal life. And that is his desire. And don't doubt that for one second. To accept this statement, we must put the authority and scholarship of this mysterious Fred Kohler. Didn't even know who I was. Before all Hebrew scholars, rabbis, and authorities. Now, I did not say that, because I'm going to read from the leading Hebrew scripturalist authority in the world, Everett Fox. Says Kohler, the meaning of Ba'erev. Remember, there's a difference between Erev and Ba'erev, and difference between Ba'erev and Bein Ha'arba'im. The meaning of Ba'erev is without controversy, and I will prove it, and means sunset, and I will prove it. Is this true? He never got the Shocking Bible. He didn't get all the facts. He didn't read the book, The Christian Passover. And a comment was sent to me on an email. Please check out this dissertation and tell me where you find it to be flawed. Now, I'm going to do that, but that is also your job. It's pretty much a frontal assault on your reasoning and conclusion about this topic. Yes, it is, but it's worthless, because he doesn't get the fact. The facts come from the Word of God. Any scholars or traditional interpretation that does not agree with the Word of God should be rejected. Now, what Paul said, he said, what if some of them disbelieve? Shall their unbelief make void the faithfulness of God in keeping his word true? May it never, never be. All right? The Jews and rabbis most emphatically do not agree with this. But of course, they keep their tradition. According to them, the term Ba'erev, now here's a misquote, simply means evening, or the first evening begins when the sun begins to go down in the sky, and the second evening is sunset. So says Jesenius Hebrew Chaldee Lexicon. That is contrary to the Scripture, and we will see that. And that is contrary to the knowledge and the understanding concerning Bein Ha'arba'im by Everett Fox. So I haven't misrepresented anything. I have stayed with the truth and the Word of God. Okay? So we'll take a little break. We'll come back and we'll look at some things that Everett Fox has translated in the Shocking Bible.